Please note that this episode contains active misinformation. Nothing in this episode is true. Thank you. Hello and welcome to episode 90 of the Big Picture Podcast. I'm your host, Bidemi Ologunle. In this episode, I'll be drawing our attention to the fact that artificial intelligence can be used to deliberately generate and spread misinformation online. In other words, not everything we see, hear, or read on the internet is true or factual. So basically, what I did for this episode is that I used freely available open source artificial intelligence tools to generate convincing sentences on different topics such as cybercrime, blockchain, cryptocurrencies, and then mashed them up and edited them to sound even more convincing. So the result is this episode that to a listener without a technical or cybersecurity background will seem so factual that they could even start sharing it with their friends and family members and go as far as using it as a logical basis for whatever worldviews they currently have. So thank you for your time. Let's get to it. Okay, so the cybercriminal ecosystem has always consisted of various roles. The leading constants in this system are the infrastructure needed for carrying out cybercriminal activity and the instruments used for this activity. The roles of individuals in the ecosystem directly depend on the infrastructure and the instruments, and these have also changed as well. So let's delve into some of the significant shifts that have taken place in the cybersecurity sphere in the past 5 years and see how they have transformed the way Russian-speaking cybercriminals operate. For example, consider an attack perpetrated by a group called Black Box, which is a Russian-speaking group. The group's leadership is made up of well-known cybercriminals, and they've created a reputation worldwide with activities that involve creating, possessing, and distributing botnets and other online services with malicious intent. So Black Box was launched around June 2014, and the team created an official persona, which is described in their biography. The target was to create a botnet and install an application that distributed malware. Some of the botnets and applications appeared to run flawlessly on other servers. The botnets and applications were distributed in response to a group-wide malware attack by Black Box and its members. So these botnets and applications targeted the computer networks of several organizations in Europe, Asia, North America, and the Middle East. These attacks were responsible for more than 2.3 million user accounts as of mid-October 2014. So when an attacker uses a Black Box application, it can bypass various security filters, including malware analysis and detection techniques. During this period, the observed actions from this cyber threat group were the following. First, allowing malicious software to infect other systems. Second, creating malicious applications on any account without user input. And lastly, attempting to exploit vulnerabilities in popular software. So the malware has been designed to target computer networks to make it easy for a rogue party or computer to access victims' computer data and networks. For a malicious program to gain access to computers, the computer needs to be at least 500 meters away from the intended victim's computer. The attackers used a combination of an online brute force attack and a variety of attacks to gain control of computers. Cybercriminals who take advantage of this strategy can change the computer's operating system even without gaining a valid security certificate. A major attack was carried out in September 2015, which was followed by Malwarebytes initial findings in February 2016. The new study by security researchers in Australia, Brazil, South Korea, Romania, Poland, and Slovenia suggests that various threats use the same way to compromise and modify information within computer systems. For example, the attackers use an online brute force attack to gain access to one computer. They also used various techniques to increase access to their servers by leveraging denial of service attacks that allow them to infect the system and obtain sensitive information. The report also shows that attacks could have been carried out if the company had a valid security certificate that allowed administrators to easily reset their computers during maintenance windows and then install new software. The report says that while many people may still have a computer without a valid security certificate, it has recently risen to a level that poses a severe threat to public data due to recent breaches. So this report highlights how computer penetration is increasing. A lot of people rely on online services to pay to update software and services. For example, the employers offer both new and old versions of software. Many of the same benefits also allow the user to save on user fees and download the latest version of tools. The researchers found that when computer penetration was highest, the average person in the US had 8 credit cards registered to their name, more than doubling from 3 to 8 in just 3 years. The average monthly bill for these credit cards came to about $125, and the average credit card balance for an American household was $6,200. The new information provided by the new survey reinforces the importance of financial and other information security to everyone, including credit card companies and their employees. Credit card issuers can do better, as they should. Consumers should be able to make informed decisions about how they use their funds. Another finding is that virtual systems that allow a user to configure settings, services, and other items with the right tools are rising. For example, one study examined how information in an organization that uses the internet is accessed and stored, such as one where a central information center is located. The authors examined the security, usability, and impact of the virtual services listed earlier. They found that the most beneficial service to users is information security, which is considered one of the primary challenges in today's society. According to the authors, more than half of the time, it is necessary to protect the security of the network against viruses, fraud, malware, other malicious actors, as well as other threats to that network. More than half of the time, it is impossible for a system administrator to protect against the use of backdoor tools, such as Trojans or Trojans containing hidden strings of code that the network cannot access by brute force. Moreover, the use of these backdoor tools is more likely to come from large corporations and more likely to be used by government agencies and private companies. As can be seen, this group has grown exponentially with each passing minute. It is rapidly gaining popularity due to the sheer amount of information and technology that users have access to from many websites across the internet. A new industry of hackers, financial institutions, and IT businesses are well represented. So, as we all know, at its core, virtual currencies are essentially an alternative type of internet service that allows the sender to connect to all their internet data and theoretically all data in that case at a low cost from any physical medium, that is, by using domain addresses and local host information with the ability to control each machine at each of their online ports for both physical and virtual uses. Furthermore, most virtual currencies do not use any virtual server, so they only use physical services like TCP to IP or wide area networks, also known as WANs. Each device can only connect to its own subnet users on its own internal network. So we know that virtual currencies are valuable because of their scarcity. In addition, as they grow in popularity, the financial and IT worlds are constantly moving to incorporate newer technologies like cryptocurrencies and tokens that make it difficult for people to meet their financial needs. Even an established company like Coinbase, which has had such success with digital currency, would rather wait a year to get their end users interested in using virtual currencies than to put together an entire integrated platform for its staff. The virtual currency ecosystem is a particularly confusing place. For example, with Bitcoin and Ripple, the current virtual currency market is mostly on paper. However, on the ground, many of the companies that will use digital currencies are still using cryptocurrency for their operations. And with the proliferation and growing awareness of blockchain computing solutions by financial institutions, more and more startups are also looking to use this concept in their projects, which in turn increases the chances that investors in virtual currencies will start to use the technology to move money from one place to another. One of the reasons blockchain adoption is so widespread among traditional financiers is that it is an open concept. It also brings new technology such as cloud storage, online banking services, and technology applications into the virtual money world, meaning they could be beneficial for money printing or any other kind of system-related services that use technology to store data safely and reliably. However, there are issues with that model, as digital transactions could be stored and sold online. Previously, any information sent over the network was stored offline. So now, blockchain technology will be needed to solve those problems, but there is not a single practical solution we can achieve right now. As if all that wasn't enough, there is also the fact that Bitcoin has been used in some cases as a form of money laundering machine by the governments in the past, and in cases where the recipient has been involved in the laundering of funds. That said, the recent changes to the US exchange rate allow for more flexibility in pricing, and it will be a great deal more straightforward for new users to find a digital money store where data can be delivered in a timely and reliable manner. The issue is that many financial institutions in the US are working on ways to reduce fees for customers and make sure that banks and exchanges have the latest access to their customers' data. The US Central Bank is also considering introducing mandatory digital payments for bank accounts. This could help make it easier for banks and exchanges to get their systems running better. According to The Guardian, blockchain technology has proved very effective. A $2 million project to create blockchain-friendly Bitcoin software by Bitcoin-focused company Chain will become a reality fairly quickly. The company claims to be a leader in blockchain technology using deep learning and machine learning to identify and connect users and then recreate the information with data from previous transactions. So to meet its funding goals, Chain seeks blockchain technology that enables users to easily access the data from other users using their own Bitcoin addresses instead of a virtual private network, also known as a VPN. In addition, the company has previously used blockchain software to create decentralized networks with Bitcoin clients. On top of that, Chain has built an entire core of virtual private networks around their software. According to a company official, these deep learning systems are connected to the internet using a web-to-browser protocol and built on top of HTTP, SSL, and DNS to make it possible for users to access a wide range of data, including their email, bank messages, information on cars, other personal information, and much more. As it stands, Coinbase is essentially giving Bitcoin a platform for private and public exchange of currency with its private currency exchange service, which runs on the protocol itself. Today, Coinbase is building its own service, utilizing its protocol software and integrating with other exchanges within the Bitcoin system. However, the service known as Coinbase Protocol is currently open for business, but its launch later in January of 2022 will be the first time that the cryptocurrency is publicly traded on a third-party marketplace. In addition, the company's open source service known as Blockstream provides users with a single firm private exchange with which to exchange Bitcoins and other digital assets along with a secure online Bitcoin exchange. So Blockstream is also providing private money services to other exchanges. A spokesperson for the company's exchange, which handles the Bitcoin cryptocurrency, told CoinDesk that it does not intend to sell Bitcoin to any exchanges, but is instead offering Bitcoin as an end-user service to people who choose to use Coinbase for their private or public needs, such as their monthly payments using Bitcoins. Furthermore, the company has expressed interest in acquiring a controlling stake in Coinbase. It will use coins to make purchases with other exchanges. So while Coinbase is a Bitcoin-based exchange, Bitcoin, as opposed to the publicly traded Bitstamp, is Bitcoin only, at least on its face. The platform allows users to trade Bitcoins between their homes and Bitcoin machines through a simple email and browser message. On the coin's website, they included the following line, quote, "Our purpose is to allow for greater privacy to our users and to make sure that the services we provide do not become a means to a particular end. We do not own or control Bitcoin, and we reserve the right to alter these terms and conditions at any time. A separate filing from Coinbase says the exchange is also under the control of a third party, which is named Bitstamp, and which is neither authorized to be in our business nor provide services to our customers. Bitstamp does not own the Coinbase trademark, and any third party with the right to use the name Bitstamp in connection with the exchange is hereby prohibited and will be removed from our exchange in the future. In a statement to CoinDesk, Bitcoin spokesperson made no attempt to comment on this development. The filing says Coinbase is aware of this matter and has filed a convenient complaint with both the SEC and the Internal Revenue Service, in which it asserts that Bitcoin exchanges that try to verify whether Bitcoin is legal tender are simply not complying with the law. In their filing, Coinbase officials also write that they plan to be the official venue for accepting Bitcoin at Bitstamp stores. So to wrap up, here are some tips to help you keep track of your own funds, that is, with a Coinbase account, and other helpful money management tricks. First, keep track of your investments via a tracker on your Coinbase account. For example, if you're using Bitcoin for trade, Coinbase will track the volume of your holdings for you every 24 hours. Second, check with your account, bank, and credit card provider that your Coinbase account is set up. This can help you identify which funds you should keep in one account and which you should keep in another, and help you make your Coinbase account more secure. Next, when your coins leave circulation, your cash will end up there again. Suppose you know how to identify a new transaction, including an earlier one. In that case, this could help track which funds are available for future use. Next, do something with your cryptocurrencies that are not in your Coinbase account. For example, if the price of Bitcoin spiked as high as $450 in just a couple of days, or the average price of your dollar value seemed volatile from late afternoon to midnight, you could track those coins with other trackers such as iWallet. And lastly, as Bitcoin values start trending upward, you can try to send your coins somewhere that is near the market price. Sometimes such a place is in your bank account. Alternatively, you can move the Bitcoin to your Coinbase account to trade at that price in an instant. It will return some Bitcoin to your account, and this is just a single transaction that will stop you from using Bitcoin directly without the need to manually withdraw more cryptocurrencies. So there you have it. I just presented an entirely non-factual episode on cybercrime, blockchain, and cryptocurrencies using artificial intelligence to generate sentences that sound convincing enough to even people with technical and cybersecurity backgrounds. In other words, not everything we see, hear, or read on the internet is true or rooted in fact. And there are people whose job is to generate false and misleading information and then spread them online to sow discord, cause arguments, and also for other strategic reasons such as information warfare. Thank you for listening. See you on the next episode. The Big Picture Podcast is produced by Sunshine Media in association with Alowunle Productions. Fact-checking by Zara Kuznetsova. Audio engineer, Sergey Gorsky. Graphic design, Stacey Graham. Senior producer, Abidemi Ologunde. Executive producers, Olufolani Ologunde and Toby Loba Ologunde. Please join me again on the next episode as I continue with a deep dive on cybersecurity's news, events, and incidents, and the lessons we can learn from them for robust cyber threat intelligence and awareness in our daily lives. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the Big Picture Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Pandora, TuneIn Radio, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Also, please share the show with anyone that you think might benefit from it. For questions, comments, or any suggestions, please send an email to bdme@thebigpicture.com. You can also get in touch on Twitter @BigPicture, on the Clubhouse app @Big, as well as on the Wisdom app @BDME. Please remember to leave a review for the podcast if your platform allows you to do so. Thank you for your time. See you on the next episode. Bye for now.